Hello and welcome to another episode of the Side by Side ATC podcast. I'm your host Tom Haynes, and continuing our journey through the Enroute Academy, and we're well into the non-radar section. So we've been 5 weeks in, we're in the non-radar lab, now we get into week six. It's the money week for non-radar. So we start out, we finish up the non-radar practice scenarios, and we, at the beginning of week six, we get into what are probably the hard level of the non-radar evals. Then you go above the level of the evals. And so this is something that the FAA decided, several years ago while I was in Oklahoma City. They decided to take you above in non-radar, take you above what the evals were going to be. And then the evals are a step down from that. And so when you get into, so there are 27 practice scenarios in non-radar. You get into 22, 23 and above. 23, they have changed. They changed it a little bit before I left. 23 used to be a monster problem. And I mean, it was a monster problem. And I've actually, I tried to run it myself when I was going through the class to be an instructor. It took two of us, and that's not really the best way to do one, but we did. We actually did it. There were six of us, and so two of us were actually working and riding on strips, and the other four were giving their opinion of what we should do. Doesn't work out that well. Okay, so, but anyway, 23 is above anything that you'll see in the non-radar evals. And so also part of your week, before you get to the eval day, you'll have a TR briefing. The FAA will come in and tell you how to file a technical review. That's where you disagree with something that the evaluator did, and you try and get some points back. If you have your references down and they actually did something wrong, they will give you the points back. And so beginning of the week, like I said, you're in the 20s. And then, day 29 of non-radar is non-radar eval day. And you'll run one eval problem in the morning, one eval problem in the afternoon. It will pretty much 100% be a day shift for this week. Now, as I've said before, I'm just going by, 1 through 5, that's day 1 through 5, that's week 1. And so this is day 26 through 30, but it may not, unless you start on a Monday and have no holidays and no weather days and all that, you're not going to have these days be exact. Okay, so get that out there right now. You can do your non-radar eval on any day of the week, Monday through Friday. And so even though it's day 29, which in my world anyway, the way I'm doing it, would be a Thursday, but I do know that classes will eval on any day of the week as far as non-radar. And it's one day only. They're each worth 7 points, 14 points available on a day, and you're well on your way. Okay. And then the very next day, you will start radar. And the first couple of lessons are, you know, just, they're not throwaway lessons. You're probably going to have, you know, some questions from them on the CKT2 test. But all in all, the first couple of lessons for radar are not that important as far as for your radar evals later on. Okay. So, they will have you do, before your non-radar evals, the day before, they'll have you do an intermediate course critique where you can be very honest with them, because your name's not going to be associated with it. And so be very honest, be open, be very supportive of the instructors who you felt were doing a good job. And, you know, if you feel the need to, you can talk about instructors that you thought were not quite up to where everybody else was. As I said, be honest. Try to be nice, but be honest. And I will say, as an instructor who I got several, you know, positive feedback from classes when I was just a row instructor. And it means a lot. It really does. I was trying my best to help students. And when you get positive feedback from the students, it does mean a lot. Okay? So, when you're going through that, like I said, be honest and try to be supportive of what the instructors are trying to do. Your lead and A-lead, generally, the classes are very supportive of the lead and A-lead and what they're trying to do and how they try to help, you know. But, you know, just be honest. The FAA wants your honesty, and they actually do read them. And, you know, it's not like you're going to be able to make a suggestion and the FAA goes, you know, that's a really good idea. We'll go ahead and start doing that. The FAA just doesn't really work that way. But if a bunch of you say the same thing, have the same suggestion, then they start to listen. Okay? So week 6 is all about getting ready for the evals. And it's your first time doing an eval at the academy. And that's it's just totally different from taking a test. There's nothing multiple choice about it. You have to demonstrate that you understand what you have been taught and that you can put it into practice. Okay? That's the way the FAA has done it since the 80s when I went through. And it's the way they'll probably continue to do it. You have to be able to demonstrate your understanding by working a quote-unquote real-world scenario. Okay? And so that is why the non-radar evals get more points than any of the tests. Okay? But if you look ahead to the radar evals, there were 22 points apiece, or three times, slightly more than three times what the non-radar evals are worth. And you have three of them. So there's 66 points on the last 2 days. Okay, and so, you know, the FAA, the program for en route is very well thought out. If they wanted to increase the pass rate, really all they would have to do is lengthen non-radar by a week, lengthen radar by a week. And I guarantee you the pass rate would probably shoot up about 10%.
I don't think that is in the plan. I think there are some other things that are in the plan, and we'll see how well those other things help. Hopefully they will help. I haven't seen exactly how the quote-unquote tutoring is going to work. We'll see. But back to non-radar. You know, I wish I could give you just a silver bullet that would allow you to pass no matter what. It requires a lot of work, both in non-radar and radar. And it requires getting some sleep, which I know is going to be difficult those last few days leading up to the eval. But you need to be fresh. You need to get as much sleep as you can. I've had students ask me what they should work on right for evals, whether it's non-radar or radar. And I said, really, the most important thing that you could do right now is get some sleep. And I've had some of those students tell me, I haven't slept for a week. And I just look at them and say, well, there's not a whole lot I can do for you. You don't really want to try and run these scenarios, whether it's non-radar or radar, on caffeine and caffeine only. You have to get sleep. And really, the best way to be able to get sleep is to be so prepared that even though you're nervous about the eval itself, you know that you've done everything you can to prepare for it and to be ready for it. And that's all you can do. But to be prepared and to feel prepared, you have to put in the work. There's really no way around it. In the episode this last Thursday that I put out, a special episode, I talked about the difference between practice and focused practice, or what I called intense focused practice. And you have to do that. You have to have the very focused practice. You also have to understand that there's another test coming up on week 7. Aircraft characteristics is coming up. But while you're studying for that, you also have some very important lessons that will prepare you and that you need, and that you need to practice and need to study for the radar labs. And so your aircraft characteristics test is worth 4 points. Your radar evals were 66. Okay. I'll let you figure out which one's more important. Now, the aircraft characteristics is a fairly easy 100. Okay. And you can find on Discord and a lot of other places exactly how. And the FAA will provide you with the study material for the aircraft characteristics test. They give it to you. It's a chart. They allow you to draw the chart before you take the test. If you can draw the chart, you will make 100 on the test. It's that simple. The FAA didn't used to give you the chart when I first got to the academy. They didn't give you the chart. But then they said, you know, it's fine. Every student had a copy of the chart.
And so the FAA just finally started giving it to all the students. Okay. So that's the aircraft characteristics. Don't get focused on something that's fairly easy to study for, fairly easy to remember, while you let the more important lessons slide. The more important lessons are the radar lessons. What you have to understand is at the academy, part of what you have to do is learn how to manage your time to the point and manage your practice to the point where you can practice both. You can practice what you're learning each day in class and the lessons, and you can practice and study for the tests that come up. Okay, you have aircraft characteristics at the beginning of radar. And then you have the CKT-2. And then you have the checklist eval. That's towards the end of the radar lab. There again, that one is another fairly easy 100. You should get fairly close to 100 on that. The CKT-2, that's a hard test, you know. But if you study the lesson plans and study the lesson plans from non-radar, because about a third of it is non-radar stuff. Okay, so part of what the academy does is it forces you to study for tests while you're also practicing for your labs and for your evals. And that's not always easy. You have to have a game plan. You have to understand the balance that you need to achieve before you get to Oklahoma City. And then you have to commit to your plan. And you have to be willing, and this goes totally against our human nature, you have to be willing to practice the things that you struggle with. And you will struggle with things at the academy. You will. Everyone does. I would say 100% of people. 100% of the students I saw in 5 years struggled with at least one thing. Okay, you have to be willing to practice what you are struggling with. Don't just practice the things that you are fairly good at. Okay, so get off my soapbox. But that is week 6 in a nutshell. In less than 6 weeks, in 29 days, you've gone from your first day of En Route Academy to your first day of evals. You have tried to accumulate a grand total of, I think, 20 points, close to it, maybe a little bit more. I don't have that right in front of me, but you're a fifth of the way through as far as points go. But like I said, the vast majority of the points come on those last 2 days. So you have to be trying to get every point you can. Study for the tests, but understand that the evals are more important than the tests. And the FAA has done that on purpose, because they want to know that you can work traffic and work airplanes and keep airplanes separated and keep airplanes moving.
Okay. That's what they want to know. They don't want to know if you can take a test. Most of the students that get to the academy, you already took a test to get there, and you did well on that test. So most of the students that go to the academy can do well on a test. It's, can you put what you are learning into practice? Can you demonstrate that you understand what they have been teaching you? That's the vast majority of the points. I mean, it's 80 points. 14 non-radar, 66 radar. And week six, you just finished non-radar. And then you're going to step into the world of radar. And in some ways, radar is easier because you can see the traffic. But there's a lot more going on than there is in non-radar. So, be prepared. Have a plan. Commit to working your plan. Okay? And you do those things. And do the intense, focused practice. And then once you get into radar, don't stop practicing. Too many students stop practicing. Practice. You've got phraseology you've got to practice. You've got steps for all these things. Steps for handling an emergency. Steps for handling a military change of destination. Steps for handling departures off of Byerly. Steps for handling departures off of Vicksburg. Steps for handling holding. Steps for handling all this. So don't stop practicing. Okay? Please don't stop practicing. It's what makes or breaks your time at the academy. Okay, so thank you all again for continuing to listen. As I've said before, I'm continually amazed that you guys are out there. Thank you for letting me know you're out there. Thank you for listening. It is a very humbling experience to hear from you guys and know that, you're out there listening to these podcasts. And thank you very much. And for those of you who are already at the academy, if you haven't already, give me a call. Go to the website, sidebysideatc.com. You can sign up to get a call. My business phone number is on there. You can text me. And we'll get on the phone and we'll talk about where you are. We'll talk about what you're struggling with. We'll talk about how to get past those struggles. I just want to help all of you that are at the academy. I want to help you get through. I want to help you be the best controllers that you can be. And I want to help you reach that goal of being not just an academy graduate, but a certified professional controller. That's what CPC is. And I want you to have a long and healthy and exciting career as an air traffic controller. So you can also, if you want to set up a phone call, you can just email me, TomHaines@sidebysideatc.com. I read every single email. I get back to you as quickly as I can. And thank you again for listening. And realize that you don't have to go through this process of becoming an air traffic controller alone. That's what I'm here for. We can get through it and
we can get you through it side by side. Have a good night.